We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless.
All right, well, welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We're going through season two, wrapping up the season, just a few more letters to go as we find ourselves in letter 28. Ian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And Galen, it's great to have you back. I know you've been through your own life's trials, and it's been amazing to see how you've handled it in amongst everything else that you've had going on as well. And obviously our thoughts and prayers are with your wife's mother as she's entered paradise, and for her that she stays faithful and obviously raises her children to know that their grandmother was a woman of faith and is loved by the Lord.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for, I don't know if we've addressed it or shared the news, but we have been caring for my mother-in-law over the past several months. My wife primarily has been helping out with a lot of the care. She's been on hospice and passed away at the tail end of August. So just dealing with everything that goes along with getting a loved one across the finish line, which actually is a pretty fitting way of starting the letter today.
talk about coincidentally, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So let's dive in. You know, again, season two, the purpose here is to unpack some of the Easter eggs and find a passage or a concept, an area of doctrine or something that's kind of undergirding C.S. Lewis's writing here as he goes through things, and finding maybe a passage that might have been inspiring him or he might have been thinking about when he wrote a letter. Allowing us to unpack it helps us also give some good light to the actual chapter. And this chapter here, just to give a quick background of the chapter before we get into the Easter egg, Screwtape is a little bit rebuking Wormwood because the patient is at war, and Wormwood, like any demon, is just so happy to see human suffering and bombs being dropped and people dying. And Screwtape basically says to Wormwood, what are you nuts? If this man dies, we've lost him. And he says, this guy's walking with the Lord. He's got good friends. He's got great godly family that he's starting to build. And he says, you better hope that we can get him back from wartime so that you can use the rest of his life to try to pull him away from Jesus. And he says, there's a couple ways that we can do that. You can either do that by pulling him away from, untangle him from the Lord, by giving him a lot of adversity, the difficulty of middle age and things like that, or by giving him a lot of prosperity. So one demonic tactic is to try to pull people aside by the trials and difficulties of this world. And one is try to choke out their faith by getting them distracted by all the other good things happening in the world and get them to deny the Lord. So that's kind of the background of the chapter. And then he talks about persevering to the end. But it's a really great chapter.
It is. And when we look at these Easter eggs, some of them were very overt, right? They just screamed at you. And then others were more subtle. But I think looking back, and, you know, this is our third, maybe even fourth time reading through it and probably listened to each episode and read each episode numerous times. C.S. Lewis was very purposeful about, I think, and this is why we're in the Easter eggs, attaching each of these episodes to a particular area of scripture. He wanted that to guide his writing because it made it one more purposeful and more engaging and real as well to do that.
Well, and I think also of, like, you know, we use that concept a lot, you know, in ministry, talking about how we should be consuming the Word of God and getting it in us. It's almost like how the cow has to chew on things, and it kind of, you know, has all the stomach. It spends a lot of time chewing on it and gnawing on it. And I can see, like you said, some of these are a little bit more overt. Some of them, as you sit and think about the chapter, you can see it. But I believe C.S. Lewis found himself at times really deeply contemplating on passages of scripture and concepts in there, and deep mind wrestling with these things that ended up inspiring, being the inspiration for some of these chapters. So should we get into the Easter egg here?
Let's dig in, because you can read this one and just think that, okay, there's the Easter egg in here is death, but it isn't. Tell us what it's about.
So it's the what I've termed the parable of the soils, but you've termed the parable of the sowers. By the way, I think you probably have the more correct term. I think people are going to recognize it by the parable of the sowers. And we find this in what we call the synoptic gospels, the three gospels that really tie together a lot better, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's in Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. And Jesus is giving a parable. We all know it. I'll just give a quick recap. Is a parable saying the kingdom of God or the gospel is kind of like seeds being sown by a sower. Some fall along the path, but the birds come and get those and they devour them. Some seeds fall on rocky soil where they don't have much soil, and then they spring up and they die because there's no depth. And then some seeds fall among the thorns and they start to grow up and they get choked and they die and they don't last. But then the fourth soil is seeds that fall on good soil. It produces grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, it says. And this, I believe, is really what C.S. Lewis has in mind, because Jesus goes on to interpret what that parable means. And he gives his disciples the meaning, which is basically the seed that falls along the path. That's when the devil's able to come. The devil's like the birds. He can snatch up the message and snap up that seed very quickly and easily. And then the one that falls on the rocky or hard soil is kind of like those that are just, they can't take root because the trials and difficulties of life kind of wear them out. And then the last one is the last bad soil is the thorns. And that's the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches, as it says in the ESV, kind of chokes the word. People get pulled away by either adversity or by pleasures. And then the last one is obviously the good soil. And this is exactly what the picture that C.S. Lewis is painting through Screwtape here. He's already tried the first soil. And the Screwtape is frustrated at Wormwood because the guy has established good Christian connections, good godly girlfriend, getting plugged in with good family. He's walking with Jesus. The first soil has already failed. Satan tried to snatch it up quickly and easily in the early days of this man's life. Now he's got to focus on the next two. And he says explicitly in the chapter, the two things that he's going to try to get him to do is pull him away from his faith by either adversity or pleasures.
Yep. And this also butts up against one of my favorite and most revelatory passages in scripture, Galen, which is, though there'll be those that will listen but won't hear, and those that look but won't see. And I think it talks to that whole idea of you can open the door all you want to people, and then they're going to stumble and fall and not make their way through. Us as sowers go out there and we talk about the gospel, we talk about Jesus to people, and we get rebuked, we get ashamed, we get pushed aside, they ignore us, and they go their own way happily in their own worldly pursuits. And at the end of the day, I think there's a underbelly of soft Christians who want to think that heaven's open to everybody. And then there's and it is open to everybody, but I think it's clear in both the parable of the sower and in that line that we don't all get there.
Right. Well, and it's a sobering thing because, like, you know, you look at people who have a life of faith and then some people fall away from the faith, and you stop and you ask yourself, like, did these people walk away from Jesus? Did they lose their salvation? Is it possible to lose your salvation? Or what was going on? Did these people, like, not have a seed take root in their heart? Even the way Jesus tells the story, it's a seed that actually starts to take root, but it doesn't survive all the way to the end in order to produce an actual harvest. And it kind of provokes that question. How does that, what do you make of that as we look at people who seem to be walking with Jesus, but they don't make it all the way to the end, or they walk away, or they turn their backs.
Yeah, it's, look, I think all of us have had prodigal moments in our life, and that question is begged at that point, right? Were you saved before that? Does God know when you particularly get saved? And it happens, well, he does, but you know, does he know you're going to go through that prodigal stage and come out of it, and that's at the point you get saved? Or if you're killed or die in that prodigal stage where you've left God behind, are you still saved? It's a deep, deep question.
Right.
You know, so I always stand, Galen, on the side of I never want to speak for God. And I think that's something that when I hear people going, well, and God would say this to you, that always just, it gets me a little bit, because I'm like, wow, okay, that's a heady place to step into. Now, if scripture says it, that's different. But if people are like putting themselves in God's shoes and saying, God says Bob is saved. Okay, really?
Well, those are the things where we do kind of need to leave it in the Lord's hands.
Right. Yes. But it
still should provoke in us kind of a sobering weightiness about the fact that we are called to really challenge ourselves and question our own faith and constantly be driven back to Jesus. There's no one that's finished their race except for those that have finished the race. You know, life is, you know, or let's not use race, let's use the illustration of a battle. Like, life is spiritual warfare. Life with Jesus is a spiritual battle that we're constantly fighting to do what we're called to do. You can't stop fighting until this battle's over.
All the way. Absolutely.
All the way, right. All the way to the end.
And can I throw in as well here, Galen, and say, I think you've also got to, you know, battle with your heart in the right place. Because if you read the story of Cain and Abel, and for a lot of people it's been a mystery, or they read Genesis and they're like, so what, wait, both of them take gifts to God and God basically rebukes Cain? Again, talking about having his heart in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
Abel came with his heart in the right place and Cain didn't. And I think that plays into that whole race that we run as well, is, are we going through the motions? You know, are we just like, hey, I turned up every Sunday. I was on my phone a bit of the time. I was checking the football scores. But, you know, is your heart in the right place?
Well, I think that's really what it comes down to, because it's easy to fall back on our heels. It's easy to coast. It's easy to bank on the fact that, well, you know, I got saved, you know, so long ago, and, you know, I did the whole church thing, and now I'm just kind of coasting into this season in my life. That's really a demonic trap. I think C.S. Lewis paints it pretty brilliantly in this chapter, where he says, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says an average lifespan or a long lifespan of 70 years is, even that's not too long of a time to slowly unknit a man's heart from heaven, because Satan's always going to play the long game. He's not going to try to get everything done in your life immediately here today. He's willing to play the long game. He's got a system of the world and a system of exploiting your own flesh and sinful inclinations to pull you away from the Lord over the course of your entire life. So it's good to remember, you constantly have to stay engaged. You have to wake up every day knowing that mercies are new. But that also means following Jesus, and the decision to take up your cross daily is something that you need to continue to pursue to do.
So when we were planning for this episode for our listeners, one of the things that came to me was James 1:12, which talks about persevering under trial. And the person who stood the test of time will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised for them. And I think that perseverance, it's not easy. It's like with all that we deal with tragedy and things that will rock us from believing that God is with us. I think if you have moments like that in your faith walk, for our listeners out there, if you have in those moments, this is natural. This is sometimes it's demonic forces. Other times it's our own lack of belief. And that lack of belief can creep in different ways, but it's just a time when you have to fight back to faith and you have to put trust in the Lord that he turns all things for good. And eventually you'll see the reason why behind it that you can never see in the moment.
Right. It's tough to see the whole purpose of things, or it's difficult to get kind of a complete perspective in any moment, but seeing saints get to the finish line, I think is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful thing. Can I drop another kind of broader, like theological concept
Please,
here
yes,
that I think really, I think it's very helpful, because like some people push back on this concept of like, once saved, always saved is a very basic understanding of the gospel, because we don't save ourselves. Let's be honest. Like, God saves us. I saw a quote the other day that said, if your salvation was 0.01% dependent on you and 99.9% Jesus, you would still screw it up. Like, salvation is all us. So like, if we can't earn it, how do we lose it? That's definitely the school of thought that I come from. That's what I believe the Bible teaches really clearly. But a lot of people say once saved, always saved as an excuse to be like, well, I can live however I want because I'm saved. And there's a doctrine called the perseverance of the saints. It's part of the 5 points of Calvinism, which have value to the I'll put it this way. Calvinism has value to the exact extent that it is valuable. that's my way of saying I'll take it for what it's worth. It's helpful in a lot of ways, but I do like the way it teaches the perseverance of the saints that says, I don't know that I guess here's how I would describe it. The best way to tell if you're really saved is if you make it all the way to the finish line, because what God starts in you, he's determined to finish in you. So I would say, there's a lot of complex questions in life, and we leave things to the heart and mind of the Lord. But I think it's good to say, when we see people walking away from the faith, even if the guy in the chapter, if he were to get back from war and go on for 20 years and Wormwood can just pull him away from Jesus and get him living like a heathen by the time he's done, I'll leave it to the Lord to decide whether or not he's really saved and was just maybe backslidden, is a term we use a lot. But I think the best way to think of it is, what God begins in us, he's determined to finish in us. And as we persevere in this life, God is preserving us and carrying us to the finish line. And those that don't, John talks a lot about this. People say they have the truth and they don't. They're liars, or they depart from us because they were never among us. So this idea of like standing strong to finish the course, stay strong through the ups and the downs of life, the undulations, as we say here. But really it's persevering in the grace of God all the way to the end.
Yeah. And I think that ties into what we were saying about having your heart in the right place as well. If your heart hasn't been changed, but you think you've been saved, maybe you haven't. It's something to really question within yourself, because I believe, and again, I'm not talking for God, true salvation and being saved comes down to a transformational change within you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Right. And so there can be a marker, and on that line, right? So, Jesus even talks about the narrow way, enter by the narrow gate in Matthew 7:13, because he says the wide gate is broad and is the way that leads to destruction. And I think that's talking for everyone out there. The easy choices in life, the worldly choices in life, are the broad way. The narrow gate is the path to Christ, which is difficult, which means sacrifice, which means discipline, which means making choices that are not easy most of the time.
Right, right. Well, and remember also, like, life is long. So, I hope our listeners have believed in Jesus and are walking with Jesus. And one of the reasons we're doing a podcast is because life involves spiritual warfare. It involves difficult times, a lot of the ups and the downs of life, the undulations, as we say. And we want to call people to remember to know that there's a God who's going to be faithful to them. Keep picking up your cross daily and keep banking on the mercies that are new every day to finish the race strong. That to me is really, that's our heart behind doing this, and even more specifically, the heart behind this letter 28.
Yeah, so for everyone out there, our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, is now available for pre-order. We have been working feverishly with it, and we're not just authors and podcasters. We have jobs, families, and everything else, and this has been a real passion for us. So if you get a chance, go to ScrewtapeLetterspodcast.com, and you can pre-order the book. You can actually save some money by getting it before it's out. Support us in this mission. Buy it for a friend. We've already had a couple of people buy a couple of copies, and thank you for that. They're buying them for friends as well. We really appreciate that. And Gail, until next time, confronting evil in our time, the Screwtape Letters Podcast, and we'll see you again for letter 29.